What if I'm interested in a guy? What questions should I ask? What should I be asking him? What should I not be asking him? Like, how should that conversation go to make sure that I make the right decision, that I don't miss anything, that I don't fall into a red flag? I get this asked constantly. Now, while you guys know, we have a huge class that is opening on June 21st, where I'm going to answer so much of this, give actually free stuff away with this and other things. I do want to give you guys a glimpse into what you need to ask. So we're going to cover that exactly today on the podcast. And by the time you walk away, you're going to get a really good idea of what you should be focusing on and the questions to ask when you're interested in finding a spouse. Hello, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Mindful Muslimah Speaks podcast. I'm your host, Mindful Muslimah, coming to you twice a week on topics that you guys request. 95% of what you request is what turns into a podcast. Only about 5% are my two cents of something that I think. But honestly, in the end, because you guys are just honestly feeling so comfortable and I feel grateful and I feel like, oh, it's such a huge accountability. Nobody knows, you know, subhanAllah. I mean, the people who do this type of stuff, no, alhamdulillah, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, may Allah give every sister what she needs that will give her the good for her in the dunya and the akhirah, ameen, rabbil alameen. But I'm getting this question all the time. What questions? What are the right ones? What are like, I don't know if they're looking for magical questions here, you know, alhamdulillah, subhanAllah. We come to you guys twice a week. Usually it's Mondays and Fridays, but I will admit like once or twice a year, I'm off track of that. And today is a Tuesday and I'm releasing this. We had a bit of a tech glitch. And then I fell into some really deep reflection today. And I'll talk about that in a second. But alhamdulillah, we're here with you to bring you, I think, something that you're really, really going to walk away with, something great. Alhamdulillah, we're going to talk about something of what you guys keep asking about when finding a spouse. And for parents, I think this is important too, right? Because you want to make sure your children are talking about and asking the right things. And if you're a divorcee, you don't want to go through pain again. Maybe you've been through things before and you're like, how can I make this not as horrible this time around? And, you know, the thing is, so many people contact me lately. I've been having a lot of people asking for consultations. I guess they hear the podcast and they feel like, oh, I need to talk about my particular situation. And I accommodate everybody as much as possible because we're like maybe 60 days sometimes in to make a consultation or so. But what I want women to know is, sometimes your situations are particular, sometimes there are general information you can give, and sometimes they're particular. And that's the way Islamic law is, you know, and I don't do Islamic law, but my point is sometimes when it gets into certain things, you know, you can only answer so much. So we do our best here to cover everything you guys love. But if you have particular situations, I'll let you know. But if it's something I can answer and give you sincere advice, and definitely something we've done for years in our school, I will, alhamdulillah. Before I start the podcast, I wanted to make a personal request, and I don't usually do this. I think you know, certain things are important to us, even as the podcaster, and I don't usually make a selfish request, but I feel this one is really, really heartfelt, and I want to ask your favor for a dua. One of our great da'i, Brother Bilal Asad, I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's a wonderful da'i in Australia. I can say I personally have learned so much from this brother of ours in Islam. His young son passed away in a tragic accident, and his younger brother. I was listening to a podcast today. It just happened to me on YouTube. I guess it came up in my feed. And you know, when you've heard someone for so long, someone that you really like respect as your brother, or as, you know, da'i, to look up to them. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah, he's working so much with the youth, and he really is just so in tune with them. And he was on a podcast, I think it's My Voice Media. I actually was not familiar with this one, with Abu Hamza, another great brother. And he was telling his story, and this was only released, I think, 2 weeks ago. And what I wanted to make a selfish request to all of you is, please, he was telling the story of his son's death and his brother's death. Allahu alam. As a parent, or even as someone, like I said, when you respect somebody a lot and then you hear something tragic happen to them, you know, you feel like you know them. You feel like, oh my gosh, this is my brother in Islam. Like, I don't want him to feel pain like this, because he spends his every waking moment to help us, to help all of us. So now I request for you to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help him and to help his son and to help his brother. May Allah, you know, give them Jannah al-Firdaus and forgive them every sin, amin ya Rabbil Alameen, and give ease to our brother Bilal Asad and his family and his wife and his extended family for their tragic loss. But alhamdulillah, it's all by the qadr of Allah, Allah Kareem. And I just wanted to say that because I felt for him in his description, and he was giving us such a beautiful reminder of the way we should handle even the death of a child, which is a really, really difficult thing. So I wanted to jump in there. I'm sorry to take up the beginning of the podcast with that. But I think certain people, they earn that time from us as an ummah, when that's all they do is give themselves to us. And then when they have their moment, all he needs from us is dua for his son and his brother. So please keep them in your dua and just take a moment right now, even if you want to pause the podcast for them. You know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them Jannah al-Firdaus and make it easy for them. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. All right. Sorry to start on a sad note, but Allahu alam, my heart is heavy today. I had to be honest. I couldn't like start the podcast and pretend I wasn't personally affected by his tragic loss, alhamdulillah. And I wanted to just share that with you also to benefit our brother, alhamdulillah. And so, okay, so we're gonna try to pick up the pace now and talk about subhanAllah. You know, how can we approach love and marriage in a better way? And I feel like so many women are doing it differently. So I want to highlight for a second what I've noticed. After I've talked to women like you guys know over 140 countries, and I've done this for 2 decades. I know I say this all the time, but I say this to impress upon you how similar our women are. Even though we're going through different things, we all share a similar pain, a similar joy in so many ways, more than we realize. And I just want to show you some trends that I notice. My background is also in anthropology. A lot of people don't know that. I'm a licensed educator, like for actually teaching, but also I have a background in anthropology. And one of the things, you know, Allah puts you through certain things. That's why Brother Bilal, he was talking about this as well. But I want to say this for all of you sisters too. A lot of you have pain and you're going through a lot. And I want to say that the beautiful tragedies that you're experiencing, or the deep pain, it is such a character builder. A lot of people see me come on the podcast, and I was talking to one sister just, I think, yesterday, and she I'm so grateful for her. She's a young girl from the community here, and she listened to the podcast so much, and she reached out to me about many things, and she said, you know, you make it sound like it's like you're being superwoman. You're doing this. You have 5 kids. You make this. You know, we need to know, how is this possible? Like, how can you do all of this? And I was thinking to myself, it is possible though. But people think it's like some type of a superpower to be able to juggle life, to juggle careers, to juggle school. It's not. It's just like life experience puts you through things. And I'm going to spend the next couple weeks or months honestly breaking things down for you guys a lot more granularly. I just want to commit to you guys that. It means a lot to me. All of you mean a lot to me. And I want you to know there is so much healing possible for you and so much good. And if you've had bad experiences with guys and spouses and things like this, there is so much positive things that could still happen to you, even though if you feel like scared. I know a lot of you tell me, I'm so afraid. I'm afraid to fall into this bad relationship. I've heard horrible stories. I've had horrible things happen to me. And I just want you to know I have too. And I don't talk about them as much. I think I will in an upcoming podcast or two. I'll tell you kind of one of my stories with marriage, and I'll get you to understand, like, I've been through a lot. Like, I've been through some really bad things. And Brother Bilal on the podcast today with Abu Hamza, he was just saying, like, when you do this work, when you go out to talk to the people, and I think he was talking about Abdurrahman Green, I think is what he was referring to. He's saying, like, you can't just come to this having not experienced, like, difficult trials, like ibtila. Like, I've had trials that have just shook me to the core. And I think no one understands, unless they know me and they've seen what I've gone through, that that you can't come on a podcast and advise people and this and that. And even if you study for years and years, only, of course, we're advising what we know and what we can hold is true. But unless you've been through stuff, you know, alhamdulillah, ibtila. And so what I want to tell you is the knowledge that I'm going to bring to you right now and within the free class that we have in the June 21st and within the courses that we have in our school related to all these things, it's really from a place of looking at women and listening to them for a long time. And so what I want to tell you is what I'm noticing in trends is we have groups of sisters who put all their faith in their parents. We have groups of sisters who have parents who are not supporting them and they wish they were supporting them, right? And they're doing it on their own. And they're just like calling me like, please, I don't have a good relationship with my dad, or my mom and dad are divorced, or my dad wants me to do this myself. And so we have that category. I want us to recognize the different struggles of our sisters. Then we have another category of sisters who just doesn't want anybody to tell them how to do it. They just kind of will like figure it out themselves. And some of them feel like, you know, they could do it. They're still at that phase where they feel like superheroes. Like, I could do this. I don't really need people to tell me. I'm a big girl. I'll put my, you know, big girl boots on and I can just figure it out myself. I know how to find a guy. I know what I want. I know my limits. Nobody can, you know, whatever. And then there's that group of sisters. Yeah. And then there's a group of sisters who have done that thing that I just described, and it didn't go well for them, right? It usually ends up not well, by the way, because when you do things counter to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you to do, it doesn't go well. It's just written. That's just it. But you know, you can only tell those people so much when they're at that point in their life. That's what they feel. And you have to let them and respect them to do what they need to do. And only you can advise them so much. So then there's the sisters like, I did that. Pain upon pain upon pain and crushing heartache, right? So all these different categories of sisters are floating around. But they all have the same question. What question should I be asking, all right? So if you had gone back to the previous podcast, and if you haven't, I suggest, even if you want to pause this, go back and return back to here. We spoke about your non-negotiables. And that was what I mentioned to you in one of the podcasts. I'm trying to look up the number here. But I spoke to you in the podcast about that being one of the most loved lessons that we teach in our school, where we teach the Muslim Marriage Lab, when we teach the course to women. And they feel, I'm like shocked sometimes when women tell me what they love, because I'm like, really? Is that the one that you like? I thought that was good, but you know, I thought maybe you like this other one or something. And so they said, and like so many of them, it resonates with them. And I said, well, what is it? They said, well, I actually, for the first time, got in touch with myself and what I really wanted. And I realized where my lines were drawn in the sand. So I want to say to sisters, first of all, before we talk about the questions, is there are categories of questions that I'm going to mention today. And one of them is the one that is only you can ask these questions. It's not one like, I can tell you to ask this question, like, make sure he will allow you to work. Okay. This is not that type of a question. So if you missed the podcast, I'm not going to repeat it. You just go back, you listen to the podcast for the sake of all those who heard it, you know. But your non-negotiables are the things you will not bend on. And I'll just give you one example for the sake of the podcast and then move on, inshallah. Your non-negotiables are things this is what I mean. You got to get real with yourself. And we do that in the beginning, the first module with women in our classes and courses. We push them through, who are you really? We get to the core of you. Because why is that important? So many women, they come into relationships and later on find out that they didn't really realize what they wanted. They thought they did. And then it's too late. So we don't want that for you, right? So you have to go for those non-negotiables. So let's get into how you can determine the questions you need to ask with the non-negotiables. So you're going to start first off and create those non-negotiables. Again, I'm not going to mention what they're here, but like a non-negotiable, for example, might be that, you know, you have to stay living in the UK and you do not want to live outside the UK. And that could be because, you know, you have family here, your mother is ill, or your parents are older, you wouldn't be able to take care of them. You can say that if I do not have this decision in my life, I probably would feel miserable. This is a deal breaker. Height is not a deal breaker. And all these other things. I talk a lot in the podcast. Go back and check it out. But let's say you have something like that. Now, after you have a list of a couple of these and you've done that due diligence of getting into those are going to lead naturally to other questions. And that's another thing that we teach women to do, again, inside our school, inside our course. So we help them break these down. But I'm going to give you, just for the sake of understanding today, an example of like what that might look like, okay? But then again, these are exercises that you go through, you can get feedback about, and this is what usually women do and how we support them. So for example, let's pretend that one of your non-negotiables was that you didn't want to, you wanted to be able to work. For a lot of women, you know, career is a big thing. And they go to university, they spend a lot of time to become a medical student or a law student or, you know, social worker, whatever it is. So that question for yourself might be the initial obvious question, which is like, are you okay with your wife working and, you know, under what conditions and whatever and whatever, or like the, you could, which would then lead into questions about money, right? So what's your idea of the woman? Like, if she works, do you believe that she has to pay for part of the bills? We hear a lot of this, and there are Islamic rules about that. And, these are non-negotiable, right? So the guy can't be like, yeah, you know, because she works and she has to pay half the bills. Nope, that's not actually something he can request. But a lot of women don't know the rules around many things. That's just one small example. But there's so many, well, when is a time when he could? You see, like, these are things like, how do we get married not knowing these things? And so that could be one, right? And then that question might lead, understandably, into, well, what do you consider a reasonable amount of time for your wife to be outside the house? Because sometimes men right there will be like, well, you know, she goes to work, she comes right home. And because she went to work all day, I don't expect her to go out like with her friends or go out and do other things. I mean, she spent her whole time working. So then I want you to imagine if that was your life, right? Okay, you got this work thing. You got him to agree to that. He's like, yeah, I'm cool with that. But you know what? Since you're outside the house all day, like, I don't expect you to be going to like weddings and birthday parties and other things. So then your life becomes home and work and home and work and nothing else. And you see, that is an important conversation to have, right? And then that might lead you to something else. Well, that's you. We just had a lot of conversation about you as if you were the only thing that was part of the family. But eventually you're going to have kids, right? Inshallah, right? So what are his expectations then related to work still with you and the kids? See, some men right there will be like, well, obviously, because she works all day, you know, it'll be okay if she has some help from this or some help for that. Or, you know what, I don't expect this from her so much because that must be hard. And I'm telling you, because I'm a woman who works. I've worked outside the home. I've worked in the home. I've worked internationally. I've worked multiple projects. And then you have kids. It is not the same thing. You need to clear these things up. So like, what are your expectations for me with the kids if I'm working? You need to get a sense of his expectations, because one of the huge places where people mess up are having expectations of one another that are not met, right? So you yourself have some expectations, and this again is where the non-negotiables come in, right? Like, you expect a husband to do certain things. Well, who made those rules? Sometimes they come because they're Islamic law, right? I expect my husband to pray. I expect my husband to this. Okay, that's obvious. But what about the things that might be subconscious? You know, the things that, like, you saw your dad do that you kind of like, that he might not do because that's not what his dad did. He didn't see that growing up, that model, that example. But yet in the back of your mind, you're like, but that's what a good guy does. I saw my uncles do that. See, we don't realize that we have all these subconscious expectations. And one of the biggest reasons for divorce is when expectations are unmet. I expected you to be more patient with me. I expected you to understand. I expected you to not want to work because we have kids now. I expected. And you're going to have expectations hurled at you from his side. And he's going to get them hurled from your side at times where you guys get really emotional and things get to you. So this podcast and much of the work that we do is to empower women, to prepare them so that you don't get to these points where you're like, uh-oh, I didn't realize that was really important to me. Uh-oh, I didn't realize that was what he thought I was going to do. Uh-oh, you know? And I can understand how women feel that they could just figure it out on their own. And I understand, you know, because you feel like, you know, I go to university, I'm smart, I have a good head on my shoulders. And I understand how some parents think they can just get their kids married without learning this stuff too. But, you know, I have so many sisters, like Dahlia, for example, that thought the same thing. And she tried to wing it on her own. And she ended up in a tragic marriage where she ended up having, not even realizing that she was not the person she thought she was, and was not willing to accept, you know, the things that her husband was expecting from her, like dropping work and never working at all once the kids came. Like, that was her shock. She's like, but we talked about me working. But he was like, yeah, but obviously the kids are here. You're not working anymore. That part of your life is over. And she's like, but it's not over to me. It's just the beginning. And that's such a bad place to be. They're not married anymore. That was a huge wake-up call. And there had to be a point where that decisions had to be made, and they realized that they had really different expectations, right? or Faida, who really, really thought that it was going to be a good idea for her to, you know, do the best that she could, you know, doing whatever her parents needed to do. She wouldn't upset her parents. She felt obligated. They kind of wanted her to marry from this part of the world. And she kind of felt obligated because that's what women do. And women should do this. Women should do that. And she's still married, but she's depressed all day, every day, because these women call me. So you can end up with a tragic marriage that ends, or you can end up having one that you're trapped inside for the rest of your life. And these are the things that we don't realize are pivotal for women, to take the time now. And the thing is, some women think that, you know, well, now's not the time for me. I'll figure that out later. But the truth is, if you keep always passing up future opportunities to get this information or to better understand yourself or to make this a priority based on your current circumstances, if you keep passing up future opportunities based on these current circumstances, you're going to miss out on a lot in life. And in this case, it could cost you your marriage. And this is why I do these podcasts. This is why I try to get women to understand the sincere issue behind just passing this stuff and pretending it doesn't work. So I'm going to give you one more thing today. But again, don't worry. In the class that we're going to do, I keep telling you guys, because I want you to mark your calendars. Mark your calendars. It's only going to be open for like a week. June 21st, we come out with that class where you're going to walk away with a PDF. I always give it away to every woman for free, with the top 15 questions. These are the ones you do not want to not ask. They're pivotal. We also have a ton of others. Like, and then obviously I told you, like, when we do courses with women and stuff like that, we give them feedback on like, well, what do you think about these questions? I did my homework and I did the exercises, and you know, they get that supportive feedback too. But at least if you're in the free class, you're going to walk away with that. And I'm going to give you one more gem today that I hope will be really, really helpful. I want you to think about all of those stories that you, and I want you to get to the depths of your fears. You know, there's the obvious things I could throw at you, right? I'm going to give you one obvious one, and then I'll get you something that is very emotionally attached, because women don't realize how much of this is, they're suppressing a lot, is that you want to make sure that you are not approaching marriage from a place of weakness. And we teach women as well. And that's the stuff I do here, guys. It's not just like a happy-go-lucky podcast where I'm just trying to, like, you know, make you feel really great for 20 minutes and then walk away. I'm talking pivotal stuff. A lot of women are out there putting themselves in really bad positions or suffering for no good reason. I was talking to a sister just today about that. She was telling me, I feel like this about myself, I don't feel that. And I married the wrong guy. And now the idea of remarrying, it like paralyzes me, because that was a horrible experience. What if that happens again? And then I say to that sister, but what are you doing to make it not happen again? And they're like, well, I don't know. I actually don't know what to do. And I'm like, well, clearly you're just missing tools, right? You just need to know what you need to know. You need to know what you need to do instead. Have you gotten those tools? And she's like, well, no. I'm like, well, then the chances of you repeating that are pretty high. And for those of you who might have gotten to haram relationships, I want you to think of something similar. I mean, that's stuff we don't like to talk about, but it happens, right? You had this person break your heart because you opened yourself and you made yourself vulnerable. And they either in the end broke you and made you think poorly of yourself and no one else is going to love me, no one's going to want me. I had a sister call me yesterday. She feels like she was mocked all the time for being too skinny. I have another sister that's mocked all the time because her body shape is very big, and in her culture it's considered fat, even though she's not really technically fat. And so both of them feel really beaten up. They're not even just beaten up by the guy. They're beaten up by like their family. And then when they finally get married, this goes into what I want to talk about lastly now, which is like, they're getting married thinking like, ah, I need to settle because maybe no one else will want me. And that goes to the two reasons I told you that people often marry the wrong person. It's because they don't know the process, right? Which is the tools, right? Having the tools. But it's also because they're coming from a place of low self-esteem. If you saw me on Instagram, I mentioned that. That is such a problem. Because first of all, it comes out in your aura. And I've mentioned that in a previous podcast. But even more than that, you are choosing guys who are less than. And at the time you're like, oh, well, you know, like at least he said yes to me, or at least he's calling me, or I have these, like, I tried and I couldn't find a guy, so at least I'll just deal with this one. Like, why are we doing that? Because it shows that we're putting a lack of faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your qadr is written, sister. My qadr is written. There's someone there for you. But as long as you keep settling for like random guys and that doesn't work out a year or two from now or three from now, when you get a bit stronger, hopefully, and then you're like, ooh, this wasn't a good choice. But what are you going to do? You're in it for 40, 50 years. You're in it, Allahu alam, and you're building children with this person who might not be what you really, really wanted. It's horrible. And people drop $25,000, $30,000, crazy amounts of money. For what? You're buying your own depression. You're literally buying your own unhappiness. And it's really scary to me. What's scary to me is when people, unfortunately, you know, just feel like these are things that they'll figure out. And that's honestly like why my inbox is flooded. Because that's not the case. I could tell you that. So be really, really careful. So what I want you to end with today is one, go back to that podcast on non-negotiables and you get those there. So there's these two categories of questions that I have women ask. Actually, there's three almost, but let's say there's basically two. One is there are groups of ones that can only come from you. They're based on your non-negotiables. And I mentioned something before, which I'll just throw in here, which is the things that are emotionally scary to you. You need to tap into those. We need to stop running away from those. Well, I'm afraid I'm going to be sad like my mom. I saw what my dad did. I mean, he's my dad and everything, but my mom's not happy. I don't want to end up like that. Or maybe you're saying to yourself, I've just seen so many bad things happen to all my cousins and my aunties and my friends and just like what guys did to them. And like, I don't want to end up like that. I feel you. I hear you. I know what you're going through and I know what you're feeling because I had a similar instance where I had that fear factor, but I kept having pain until I realized what I needed to do. So what I want all women to end with today is that you have these non-negotiables that are going to help you come up with questions for you, you, and you. Very, very particular to you that no one else can give you unless you do and you dig in and do that work. But then you have this other set of questions that are critical. Critical questions. Those are the ones I give away in the class for free. Those 15. Because I want women to have those and say, okay, like, I don't care what conversations you don't want to really have because you don't feel like getting. So women think it's bad to like ask a lot of questions of the guy. Look, guys, you're not buying a pair of shoes. This is another human being who will be the father of your children. You have to sleep next to every night, hopefully not with one eye open out of distrust and dislike. You know, this is what I hear from many people who don't do this process. So the second one are the ones you really need to ask to make sure you protect yourself and secure yourself from really, really, questionable situations. So I hope that was a really helpful start. Like I said, when you get into the class, you'll get all those other ones, but I want you to get your wheels turning. I want you to think about going back and doing that work about what those non-negotiables be. And if in the end you have questions, DM me. Maybe we can get on a phone call. I do those all the time. 15-minute calls. I have 45-minute calls. Ask me how. You can DM me on Instagram. We have our website always for tons of free resources, www.mindful-muslimah.com. We have tons and tons of stuff for women of all sorts. And like I said, this goes out to women who are looking for spouses, who are divorced and trying to do it better the second time, or parents who do not want to marry their children off in the wrong way. And I told you that starts from being like toddlers. That does not start when they're teens. Please don't start that then. That'll be really, really hard for you to catch up. And I know that from a mom of five. Actually, I raised almost six and I've married three already. And you know, so alhamdulillah. All right, ladies, I love you for the sake of Allah. I will talk to you again on Friday. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you a beautiful week. And if you need me, you know where to find me. I'm right here on the podcast. Go and listen to the past episodes. If you love what we do, ladies, do me a favor and leave us a review because it really helps other women know this is a place they can get help. A lot of them, you know, they judge based on the comments, based on the stars. You know how that stuff works. It's kind of frivolous, but it's the unfortunate truth of the internet. So if you could even leave us a review of how we've helped you or not helped you, it's up to you. We really, really, it means a lot. And I read every single one personally. All right. Love you guys for the sake of Allah. I will see you next Friday at the end of the week. Inshallah, bismillah. Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.